Network.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly. Lavender green.
Oh, yeah. Sammy Turner. Anybody remember that song? Lavender Blue. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. A big thanks to Big Ed for finding that song. That is a real oldie moldy. And you really have to dust off the 45s to find that. It's at the bottom there. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, April the 27th. We have a jam-packed show today. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Howard Husok of the Philanthropy Roundtable about a Supreme Court case on whether it's okay for a state to publish the identities of its largest charitable donors so people could take a look. California claims that so-called dark money needs to be brought into the sunshine. So we'll talk with Howard Husok about all of that. And while Florida and Texas are gaining congressional seats, New York, California, Illinois, West Virginia, they're losing them. It's another sign that people are voting with their feet. And we're going to talk about this and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Sorese, a little later in the show. And the awkward connection between Planned Parenthood and white supremacy. There is one, and we are going to talk about it. So stay tuned for that as well. And we have a very, very interesting ultimate top 10, the top 10 most expensive movies ever made. Yeah, we found them, and we'll tell you what they are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For my money, for you guys, the best place you can go for the best haircut. It's as simple as that. You have to call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Give them a call. And, of course, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every morning preceding our show, but Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day. Get your cup of coffee, sit down, and enjoy Good Morning Clearwater. Well, Joe Biden has signed, or will sign, a $15 minimum wage hike for federal contract workers. It'll be another one. You know, how many executive orders has this guy signed? He has signed, we're going to talk a little bit later about it, he has signed more executive orders than anybody has ever done. He's issued more than three times as many executive orders alone on immigration than Donald Trump did. And he's only been in office about 100 days. As of today, you know, Biden has signed 94 executive orders related to immigration. 94. And just for immigration. You know how many Trump had in the same period? Less than 30. Why is Biden taking it upon himself to go around Congress with legislation? That's unconstitutional. Does he understand that he's president, which means he executes the laws that are passed by Congress, which is the legislative branch? Have we not turned the presidency on its head? Have we not turned Congress on its head? Biden is not to issue legislation. He has no right to issue legislation. So here he is, he's ready to sign an executive order to hike the minimum wage for federal contract workers to $15 an hour. Officials say the higher wages would lead to greater work productivity. You want to bet? It will not lead to greater work productivity. They just make that up. They say because it's going to lead to greater work productivity, it will offset the cost of raising the wage. They're making that up. They don't have any information that says that. Why do they say it? Because people will swallow it whole. That's why. The officials could not provide an exact figure on how many workers for federal contractors would receive the raise. See, they don't even know how many people. And yet they can tell you, that it's going to increase productivity, increase the creation of wealth. Are you nuts? Are you nuts? It will not. This increase would be dramatic for workers who earn the current minimum of, it's $10.95 currently. So, let's see, if my math is right, that's about a 33% increase, is it not? If you go from like $11 an hour, $10.95 to $15 an hour, something like that. They got it right here. I should have looked a little further. 37%. It's a 37% pay hike. Now, all federal agencies will have to include the $15 an hour contract offering starting next year, January 30th. So there you go. Now, anybody that thinks that when we spend more money like this, when the government forces you to spend more money, if the federal contract workers are getting that money, it comes from the wallets of the taxpayers, right? So that's increasing their taxes, right? I thought Biden was the big guy about reducing taxes for the little guy. Of course he's not, but he says that. He says he's all about taxing the rich and reducing taxes for the little guy. In the meantime, gas taxes go up. Who's affected more by higher gas taxes? The little guy. They can't afford it as much as the rich guy can. The rich guy can afford it, not the little guy. And when your taxes go up, who suffers more? The little guy suffers more than the big guy. And yet, people buy that stuff from Biden. They buy that stuff from Biden. He's held one press conference to answer questions, one, since he's become president. Do you remember how many press conferences Trump had by now? Can you imagine? Biden's had one. One. I guess people, I don't know what they think Biden is doing. I don't think he's doing much. I do think he's being pushed around. I think people buy into that he's being pushed around. But there you go. In the meantime, California now has enough signatures to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. They have enough, they verified more than 1.6 million names. They had to have 1.5 million, but they verified more than 1.6 million. So here we go. Hold on to your seatbelts. That'll be interesting. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about dark money giving with Howard Husak.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so much for being with us, and we're delighted to have Howard Husok join us. He is a senior executive fellow at the Philanthropy Roundtable. By the way, he's also an adjunct fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He's a busy guy. He's also the author of a book that will be coming out, The Poor Side of Town and Why We Need It. I like that title, Howard. Welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. I'm very interested in talking to you about what some people call dark money.
Right.
And it has to do with the state of California government's decision to start trying to publicize givers. Philanthropists, the ones that give a lot of money. What's going on with all of that?
Well, of course, California says they're not aiming to publicize it. They just want all the philanthropies in the state, charitable organizations, to submit a list of all their donors. And they say, we'll take good care of it, but we just might need it sometime because you might do something wrong and we want to have evidence around. But the Supreme Court heard a case, a challenge to that California. It isn't really a law. It's just a policy enacted by the Attorney General's office when Kamala Harris was Attorney General.
Wow.
And so the Supreme Court heard a case about it yesterday, and the Supreme Court didn't seem to be too fond of what California's doing.
So this is an ongoing thing with the Supreme Court. They're hearing arguments on this right now.
Heard him yesterday, and they'll issue a decision end of June.
Oh, okay, at the end of June. So as far as hearing anything further, they have completed that?
They have, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
They got an earful.
I bet they did. Now, I can kind of understand why a government, or I can kind of understand a rationale for letting people know about where money goes. They always bring it up when it comes to giving to candidates, right? And they talk about, well, you know, we need to publicize where these politicians are getting their donations. But these are more like, what, charitable contributions?
Exactly. The suit was brought by a whole bunch of an amazingly different group across the political spectrum of nonprofit charitable organizations ranging from the Americans for Prosperity, which is backed by the Koch Foundation, to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. They're all concerned about this because they don't want their donors to be exposed to what? Harassment. And that's what happens to people today, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. They call it doxing, don't they, when they tell you about names and addresses and things like that of people. They're not keeping the privacy things going. They're doing it with police. They're doing it with officials, with, you know, allowing people to know where you are, who you are. I mean, it is. It's an invasion of privacy. And I know if I was, I'm nowhere near it, but if I was a wealthy guy that was giving all kinds of money like that, I would like to, in many cases, I would like to give it anonymously. Number one, I don't want the glory. A lot of them want the anonymity of giving it. This is, it just smells bad to me.
Well, what's interesting is that California said, we're just going to keep them in our database. But just as it happens, a bunch of those documents got leaked.
Yeah.
Right? They have to already submit to the IRS, but the IRS takes really close care of them. California just happened to leak some of them, you know? And Justice Thomas yesterday was very concerned about groups that might get labeled as, you know, white supremacist or homophobic or Islamophobic or any of the code words, the buzzwords that we hear today. And suddenly their donors might lose their jobs. They might not even be giving big money. Could be even just $100, but suddenly they're getting publicized and their employer says, you know what, you're just too hot for us. You're going to have to go.
We're talking with Howard Husok. He's affiliated with both the Philanthropy Roundtable and the American Enterprise Institute. He's also an author. Forthcoming book, The Poor Side of Town and Why We Need It. I'm curious about that book, just from the title, Howard. Give us a quick summary. What are you meaning to talk about in your book, The Poor Side of Town and Why We Need It?
I had a working title, In Defense of Slubs. And, you know, we hear that was a little too cute. But what I mean by it is this. You know, we worry about homelessness and housing affordability. Well, we used to know how to do that in this country. Small houses on small lots, you know, a poor side of town. And they weren't bad neighborhoods. The liberals got together and said, oh, gee, we wouldn't want to live there, so we're going to tear them all down. And we haven't replaced them. We build bigger houses on giant lots, and we wonder why housing is hard for people to afford. Well, there's a secret formula, and it used to be called the poor side of town. Doesn't mean it's a bad side of town. We have to get over the idea that just because a neighborhood is low income, that means it's a bad neighborhood. No, we can do something about that.
Very interesting.
I go on about how public housing was a really bad idea, and it's still harming us.
Oh, God. I can tell you some stories growing up in the Chicago area and remembering some of the things with some of the Cabrini Green and some of those other... Robert Taylor Homes, very good. I forgot about them.
Up in Chicago.
I mean, I think those people that came up with the idea probably had it, you know, they had this vision that it would work, you know, but it did the opposite.
Run housing. They thought that 60-70% of the people were going to need to live in government-run housing, and they thought that the housing should be high-rise, it should be on a campus, it didn't need stores, it was going to be a whole new future. And it turned out to be a dystopian nightmare.
All I can remember is how terrible those places looked. Nobody would keep up their places because they didn't own them. So there was no personal responsibility. The elevators wouldn't work. The light bulbs wouldn't work in the halls. The area was filled with garbage all over the place. They turned into, I guess that's where we got the word, maybe almost, slums.
Well, what's terrible about it is, you know, we're worried today a lot, and we should be, about the income difference between African-American households and other households. One of the reasons that happened is we tore down African-American neighborhoods.
Yes.
Where people owned homes.
You are right.
They owned homes. And we put them into public housing. You know who owns public housing? The government owns public housing.
You are so right. You know, when you had your own little parcel of land that you were responsible for.
That's it.
Your own little parcel, and you would take care of it. You were responsible for it. You're exactly right. I mean, we can go on and on about government involvement in any culture's lives.
It can be tiny, but it's yours.
Exactly. So getting back to this, so you write this article in the National Review.
Yeah.
Called California versus Charitable Giving.
Right.
And I'm still trying to figure out. So you're saying, like, California is almost, it's almost like they're, what's the word? We got your name. And if you ever kind of step off the straight and narrow, we got your name about, you know, with this, we'll just release the information. It's almost like a form of blackmail.
Well, of course, they say they're never going to do that. But it just happens to happen. And that's what the Americans for Prosperity were so concerned about, and that's why they sued, and they found a pretty receptive ear from at least six of the justices, maybe seven yesterday, who are concerned about exactly that. So amazingly, the Attorney General of California said, well, you know, you could just warn us, send us a note that you're a controversial organization, and we'll take special care never to release
you. Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, well, that'll work.
Oh, yeah, that'll work real good. Yeah.
How's that again? How do you do that?
Well, it sounds like from the way you're talking, the Supreme Court is looking upon this whole thing with the state of California with a great deal of suspicion, and hopefully they're going to allow these philanthropists that are giving these kinds of large amounts of money, hopefully, you know, with the idea that they're doing good, they're going to allow them, continue to allow them in California their anonymity, do you think?
I think they're not going to be required to submit those forms. I think that's the way the court is leaning, and we'll see how it goes. Justice Breyer raised a really interesting point. He said, well, isn't this just a stalking horse, the first shot against campaign finance disclosure? And, you know, the attorneys who want to challenge the California rule say, oh, no, we're not challenging that. But it is an interesting question whether everybody who gives to candidates now, even if you give $1,000, which is kind of the max, $2,000 is the max, whether you're exposed to this same kind of cancel culture, and whether campaign finance disclosure is going to have to be revisited too.
True. It seems like because we've got this technology now, it's very hard to keep anonymity anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's just so hard for you to... Your privacy is really shot. As soon as you get on a computer, all the eyes that... You know, for conspiracy freaks, a computer system is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and, you know, we have to be able to support causes, organizations, groups, without fear of reprisal. Our democracy is going to be at risk if that's not the case. And you know, I can tell you, you know, anybody who gives money to a candidate I don't like, I'm not going to go to their house. So don't go to my house.
Yeah, right.
Don't even ask where I live.
Another thing you mentioned in your article, and again, it's in the National Review, April 26th, is that these charities are going to be possibly affected and hurt. They'll not get as much money, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's right. About 4% of donations that are channeled through really large charitable organizations are anonymous. 4% sounds like a small number. But it can be a big number. If you're a food bank and suddenly you lose 4% of your donations because people don't want to be public, well, that's X hundreds of meals that you're not being able to feed the poor. Goes on and on like that. So we may deter giving because of people's fear about being, what did you call it, doxed. Yeah.
Yeah, doxing. Bringing people's names and addresses and identities out into the open. It's kind of scary. And the fact that... the NAACP and groups like that are on the same side as, conservative groups.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
You know?
And they're arguing based on a really famous case that it's worth every American knowing about, the NAACP versus the state of Alabama, 1958. And the state of Alabama, this is in the real Jim Crow days, not the exaggerated Jim Crow days that we're living in now, the real Jim Crow days when lynchings were really a thing. And the state of Alabama sent to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, we want a list of your supporters. And, whew, can you imagine what that would have done?
Oh, my goodness.
The risk they would have been at, 1958?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
So the Supreme Court ruled, no, you have no right to it, state of Alabama. And now the shoe's on the other foot politically, and progressive states want those lists. And the Supreme Court seems to be leading toward sticking to that same precedent.
Yes, indeed. Howard, it was a real pleasure to talk with you.
To be with you.
Yeah. We'd look forward to having you on again down the road. And good luck with your upcoming book, The Poor Side of Town and Why We Need It.
Great. Encounter Books, September. Pre-order on Amazon.
Encounter Books in September, and you can pre-order on Amazon. Thank you, Howard.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Have a great day. Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye. Howard Husak. Sounds like a man on the run. Okay, going to take our break. When we come back, while Florida and Texas were getting congressional seats, extra seats, New York, California, Illinois, they're losing them. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about all of this, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. And delighted to be here. Well, I guess delighted to be anywhere, now that I think about it. But the U.S. Census Bureau yesterday announced six states, most of them in the South, some in the mountain regions, are going to gain seats. They're going to gain seats in Congress. And it's based on these updated population data results. We got about 331 million people in this country. Texas is going to get two additional seats, the most of anybody. Colorado's going to get a seat. Montana's going to get a seat. Florida, North Carolina, and Oregon are all going to get seats. Now, we got states like California, New York, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. What do those states all have in common? They're taxing the hell out of their people. That's what they have in common. I mean, California used to be a go-to state, and now it's a get-out state. So I got Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, you moved down to Florida quite a few years ago. I believe you moved down here from Rochester, New York. But you moved down here maybe way before some of this excessive taxing was going on in the Empire State. But look at what's going on now.
Well, you know, this is great. We're picking up these seats. However, I hope these people vote the way they're supposed to and vote Republican, because what's going to happen if the Democrats take over and they get all those seats?
Well, take a look at the southeastern part of Florida. Those two major counties down there around Miami, Fort Lauderdale, are blue. They're Democratic. Those are people from New York and the environment around New York that have gone down there, and they've made it like little New York. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%. That's what gives me concern.
Yeah.
I mean, why would they leave there if they like what they have?
Well, when they
for all those taxes,
I think when they were moving down, well, most of them were coming down not so much for the taxes, but for the weather. But I think a lot of people now are coming down for the taxes.
Well, I hope so, Paul. I hope so, because you see what the Democrats have done to every one of them states.
I mean, the truth is that the more people, let's be honest, the more people that move down here from the north, there are going to be a lot of people bringing their politics with them that is or was or tended to be liberal. I mean, we just have to be honest about it.
Oh, Paul, I see everybody that comes from the New England states that are down here. They're diehard Democrats.
Yeah. Now, why wouldn't they realize they're leaving for precisely their politics in some ways with all the high rates, you know? Why don't they, haven't they figured this out?
They don't have the intelligence level, Paul.
Well, no, but they do. And so now the question is, they know what they're doing. I mean, it's like they speak out of two sides of their mouth, don't they, in a way? They're leaving a state But they demand the liberal politics, you know, up there. And now they're leaving. They're hypocrites.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It might not be a good thing like we think.
I spoke earlier about Sleepy Joe, who has now issued more, if I can find the story, more executive orders just in the immigration area alone. Three times as many executive orders pertaining to immigration in his first 100 days than Trump. Biden has done 94 executive orders related to immigration. Think of that, 94.
Well, he's done more executive orders in the history of any president.
Yeah.
Right, but you know, Paul...
Why doesn't the Supreme Court get on this? Why aren't we suing him left and right on these things?
Well, Paul, I think we're going to see some things going on because, you know, Donald Trump is in the background, okay? Now, you know he never conceded this race.
Right. Okay. Well, he kind of did.
No, he never came out and conceded. He did not
technically. Technically, he thought it was fraudulent. Okay.
Now, I'm hearing rumors that in Arizona, there's all kinds of fraudulent votes with this recount that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my concern is once they find this out, the Democrats are doing everything in the book to try and stop this recount, you know. If you got nothing to hide, why you sent, I forget how many attorneys down to Arizona the other day to try and stop it, but they can't.
Yeah, I mean, you did mention this on our show the other day about what's going on in Arizona. It took so long for them to come up. I mean, Arizona should not have been that long to come up. It's not the largest state in the country. Why did it take so long for them to count those votes? It was kind of interesting.
I'm curious of who was the one that gave the order to stop the counting on November 3rd at 10 o'clock.
November 3rd at 10 o'clock?
I'm curious about that.
November 3rd at 10? Oh, at 10 p.m. you mean on November 3rd.
That's right. Uh-huh. Stop the counting. Now, if this comes up in Arizona, there's all kinds of fraud. Now, you know we're going to have to check Georgia, Michigan, okay, Pennsylvania. It's going to have to be checked, Paul. Now, if they come up with this fraud, Paul, that's treason.
The thing is that Biden won millions more popular votes than Trump did, apparently. I think it's going to be very hard to convince people.
Paul, he won those millions of votes because
fraud
election.
I don't know that they were all fraudulent.
We're going to find out, Paul.
All right.
I can't believe Donald Trump got 75 million votes. I don't think there's any way possible that moron got more votes than that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No.
I don't think he beat Hillary Clinton's votes.
Yeah. No, you may be right.
I don't think so. I don't think he beat Barack Obama's votes. Okay?
We're talking with the very, very, very questioning proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, I've got something else I want to ask you about. And this is kind of good stuff, I think. There's a Fox News poll. 77% of the people polled think a valid form of ID, state or federal, photo ID, should be used to provide and prove U.S. citizenship for voting. Now, 77%, that's pretty good. However, it's actually down. There was a high of 85% 10 years ago. So the media's assault on voter ID has worked to some extent, but 77% is still a pretty good number. It says here the 8-point decline comes from a shift among Democrats and independents. Virtually all Republicans favor providing IDs. You would think everybody with a brain would want an ID. What do you think?
Paul, you need an ID to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So why? Listen, this is just the Democrats' way of voting, voting, voting. Get everybody to vote. We don't care who you are. If you're in the United States, you're going to vote. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Not right. You need to be an American citizen. They have to have valid ID, period.
Right. Another news poll. It's another Fox News poll. I guess they're doing a lot of them recently. A majority of voters oppose reducing police funding. In the latest poll, by a 2-to-1 margin, 62-33% registered voters disagree with cutting police funding and moving it to other areas. So it sounds like common sense. There is some common sense out there.
Well, there is some. And there's a lot of people that make no sense.
That's true. Majorities of Republicans, 87%. White evangelicals, 79%. Baby boomers, that's in my category, 77%. Rural voters, 75%. All of these people oppose reducing the cops.
Well, you know, I was watching the news last night. Now there's something about another police shooting in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, here we go again.
I know.
Let's see what happened this time. All they're doing, Paul, is trying to come down on the police. I'll tell you what. If I was in charge of the police unions in this country, you know what I would do?
What?
Everybody walked off the job. Let's give them a taste of it.
I was thinking that myself. Think about what would happen in Chicago if you had no police patrolling for 2 weeks. Or New York. How about Detroit? How about Detroit?
What's happening with them?
Philadelphia. All these inner cities. Los Angeles. Seattle. Portland. Let's have no police at all for 2 weeks. Portland would probably come down in a cloud of dust the way things are going out there.
Happen. And we could start rebuilding it from scratch.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's what I would do. I'd have it with these people's crap, and I'd say, you know what? Go for the gusto.
Yeah.
You'll be begging us back with double the pay.
Even Democrats, actually a majority of Democrats. Well, wait a second. It says Democrats, 54%. I'll take it back. Democrats, 54% of Democrats, 51% of blacks, and 49% of millennials. They are favoring defunding the police. What's wrong with those people? Why would a black family want less police? What, are you nuts?
You know?
I mean, really?
Paul, the time has come for the policemen to back off and let it happen.
Well, you may be right.
I'm telling you, let it happen. The armed people will be fine.
Let's flood the inner city with social workers. That'll do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul, this is a wreck. It's a mess. People need to wake up with what's going on
here. Yeah. Any other things that are under your skin these days? What's going on with local politics? Anything?
Nothing, really. I have a big Republican thing to go to on Saturday afternoon.
Oh.
I'm going to see who's running, who's not, what's going on. So we'll be finding out from there.
Yeah.
Locally, let's face the facts. The Democrats are coming after Florida. You know that.
Yeah. We do.
Okay. Yep, we got Charlie Crist. He's banging up. He says he's going to beat Ron DeSantis, and I'm telling him good luck with that.
You think he's going to run against DeSantis, Charlie Crist?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Do you think he's going to dare run against Ron DeSantis?
We're going to see how stupid he really is.
He'd be pretty stupid. He's not going to beat Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis will make hamburger out of him. But you know what? That's what needs to happen to Charlie. You got Charlie Crist. You got Nikki Refried Bean. You got the black woman down in Miami at Val Demings. That almost
Val Deming.
Who was the vampire? Wasn't that Val Demings?
Yeah, Val Deming. Remember, she was being considered for the vice presidential, Biden's vice president. I remember that.
I thought that was the guy that wrote the vampire movie, Val Deming.
Yeah, well, Val Deming starred in Dracula 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
There you go. This is the remake, buddy, the remake. Yeah, well, you know, I can tell everybody good luck with beating Ron.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis.
What I want to know, Paul, this is what I want to know. Now, Charlie Crist rake in the dough. You know that. He knows the right people. He'll rake in the dough for running.
Yeah.
However, if he loses.
He keeps that. That's what you're getting.
Money, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
You know, I need to run for something.
Do you understand that he has a lot of fans that he puts at his feet when he's making a speech?
Oh, there's no question.
Okay, so he's got to continue to buy these little fans because they, you know, once they stop, you have to buy new ones. So that's why he's continuing to keep all of his political money.
That's what I'm saying. He'll rake in a bunch of dough.
Yeah, right.
They technically have to give that money back, Paul. I don't think they should keep.
I think you make
the
a point
party itself.
I think there's some truth to that. I don't think they should keep it. But, of course, they have ways of hiding it. You got to remember that these people that are politicians all their lives, they know all the little sneaky tricks. They really do.
And the Democrats are the best at it.
Andrew, it is a pleasure, as always, to talk with you. I am looking forward to Friday. That's 3 days. We'll have 3 days of news to talk about.
Let's see what happens with that recount in Arizona.
My curiosity
is killing me.
Well, you know what? You be our correspondent on that, because I do want to find out, and maybe we'll have some additional info by Friday.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Andrew the Master Barber. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, the awkward connection between Planned Parenthood and white supremacy.
Now I'm happy and the joke's on her. 'Cause I found that place for lovers who wander, yeah, whoa.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for listening to us, by the way. We are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But we are also on podcast. Thank you to Big Ed. He puts us on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website to listen to our show anytime you would like. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click the podcast button. We got all the shows. And again, Ed puts the information as to the guest and the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. Hey, guess what? Speaking of you, Ed, John Kerry is accused of spilling secrets about Israeli operations and airstrikes and the like to Iran. What is going on with John Kerry? Israel is our buddy. We're not supposed to be spilling secrets about what Israel is doing. But the Iranian foreign minister claims that when Kerry was serving as our diplomat during the Obama administration, he was talking about more than 200 operations that Israel had carried out in Syria against Iranian targets. Why is Kerry doing things like that? He ought to keep his big mouth shut. That's kind of dumb. Anyway, pro-life activists are responding to Planned Parenthood and its president, Alexis McGill Johnson. And it has to do with the founder of Planned Parenthood. Her name is Margaret Sanger, who apparently was a racist. Johnson heads Planned Parenthood right now, and he wrote a New York Times op-ed the other day. He said, "We're done making excuses for our founder." So Margaret Sanger is now acknowledged to have been a person that was trying to cut back on black population. And that was one of the reasons that she was involved with Planned Parenthood. She wanted to have a pure kind of, and a more intelligent base. It's kind of the idea behind it. She also spoke to the Ku Klux Klan at a rally in New Jersey and had endorsed the Supreme Court's ruling at that time in 1927, which allowed states to sterilize people deemed unfit. Deemed unfit. Now, that's kind of scary, is it not? So, white supremacy is indeed involved with Margaret Sanger, and it's a kind of an embarrassment because now, of course, Planned Parenthood, with their birth control, is always trying to, you know, say how this is important to give women their choices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But let's face it, a lot of these abortions that are occurring are in the black community. So perhaps, perhaps the wish of Margaret Sanger, you know, continues to live on in a strange way. But Johnson, again, who was heading Planned Parenthood, said that we are trying to make Margaret Sanger less prominent in our present and future. She said, Sanger remains an influential part of our history and will not be erased. But we need to fully take responsibility for the harm that Sanger caused to generations of people with disabilities. Apparently, Sanger was after, you know, knocking off people that had that kind of thing too, as well as black, Latino, Asian American, and indigenous people. Well, I'm not sure Sanger was involved with trying to cut back on Asian American or even indigenous people. I don't remember any of that. But, you know, a lot going on right now with the kind of things the Planned Parenthood is talking about. And now we got the white supremacy kind of rearing its head again. So, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting situation. We got a little time before our top 10. Ed, do we, are we concerned at all? Are we getting close to the playoffs in hockey? The Lightning, I'm sure, will be locked in. I don't know that they've clinched a spot, but how many more, do you know how many more games there are?
I'd have to look that up.
That's all right.
We're rounding the corner, though.
We are, aren't we? There's not too many more. But we got two teams in front of us here in the NHL in our division, I think. Isn't it Carolina and Miami have better records right now?
Yep.
Are we not going? Are we going to win a second Stanley Cup here?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think they're consistent enough. Stamkos out and Kucherov still out.
But they said Kucherov... Kucherov should come back.
He could come back if they make the playoffs, but I don't know. I just don't.
They'll make the playoffs.
I don't know.
Oh
I
yeah.
I don't know.
No, they'll make the playoffs. Yeah, they've got the points to make the playoffs.
We'll see.
You know, the question is how good they will be. Las Vegas is clinched.
Mm.
You know, we don't see those other teams because here in Tampa because we're only playing in our own.
Yeah, I know.
Division
playing
now.
The same teams over and over and over.
Yeah.
Again. It's like dating the same girl.
Like Columbus,
I like a
Miami,
little variety once
Carolina.
In a while.
Carolina. Yeah, wouldn't you like to play maybe, Montreal once in a while?
Maybe a brunette, or a blonde, a redhead, you know, back forth, you know, a little spice.
Exactly.
Just getting boring.
How about the Rays? How are they doing?
I'll put it this way. The Lightning score more than the Rays.
So the Rays can't find their bats?
No. Again, one run. Everybody's swinging for the fence. Everybody's swinging for the fence.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
When you swing for the fence, you typically miss the ball entirely.
Yeah, Cash has got to get a hold of him. He has got to get a hold of him.
Yeah, and teach them how to maybe get back into
the batting cage until their arms fall off.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. All right, Ed, thank you. It's time for our top 10. We have a good one. And Ed, I know you know the movie, but we'll see if you know the number, if you can guess which one, all right? But these are the top 10 most expensive Hollywood movies ever made, okay? So here we go, without further ado. Number 10. Did you see this one, Ed? Batman versus Superman.
I did not see it.
Dawn of Justice.
I didn't see that.
You didn't?
No.
It made 2006. It cost $263 million. Mm. You ought to go see it. That's a lot of money. Number 9. John Carter. How about that one? Did you see John?
Doesn't sound familiar.
Sounds like one of those movies that one of those guys like, what's his name? I can't think of them.
Like Bruce
Tom
Willis.
Cruise, that Tom Cruise would make. Anyway, 2012, $264 million. Number eight. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Did you see that?
Well, of course, many times.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good one?
Yes.
Uh-huh, $275 million. Okay, let's see, what was that? 10, 9, 8, 7. Number 7. Solo, A Star Wars Story. I imagine you saw that one, too.
Yes.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was in a little sidekick movie. It was, you know, not an official Star Wars movie, but it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, 2018, $275 million. Number 6, Justice League. Did you see that one?
No, I've heard of it, though.
2017, $300 million. Number five. They're not numbered, that's why. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Good movie.
Was it? $300 million. Okay, number four. Avengers, Infinity War.
You know, that was supposed to be the grand finale of all the Avengers, and I got bored through it.
Really?
I never watched the whole thing.
Okay, it was made in 2018 at a cost of $325 million?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. With computer animation, why do you need all of
them stars together? You know, superheroes cost a lot of money.
Yeah, all you're doing is standing in front of a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number three. Hey, another Avengers. It's called Endgame. Did you see that
one?
Yes. That was 2019. $356 million. What do you think of that one?
Good movie.
Okay. Number two. Would you believe another Avengers?
Yeah, they're expensive.
Holy cow. The Age of Ultron? Did you see that
one? No, I didn't see that one.
It was made in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the early ones, apparently. And it cost $365 million?
Wow.
Ed, you got to see it if you like the Avengers movies. Why haven't you seen that one yet? You got to go see it. Okay, Ed.
I'm going to stick with I think there's one more Avengers movie there. Maybe.
Okay. Do you know what after the word Avengers, what comes after it?
No.
Okay. Well, the answer is it ain't the Avengers.
Okay.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow.
Stranger Tides. On Stranger Tides. I don't know anything about it. Did you see it? Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. It was made in 2011. Wow, 10 years ago now.
Wow, okay. I don't know why it'd be so expensive.
I know either. They must have had a lot of pirates and a big ship. Pirates and a big ship. It was $379 million.
Wow.
And that's 10 years ago. I would have thought one of the recent ones would have been number one. What's his name? The in it? The guy that's
I forgot his name now.
Yeah, me too. Getting old. All right. Thank you very, very much for listening.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp. 10 years ago? Wow. Thanks for listening. And by the way, Joy on Paper with Patsy. Right after the news. Remember, freedom works.